Would you pray with me? Help us to look beyond the dazzling vision, O God, and to hear the clear voice of your Son speaking to us. Help us to hear your words to him. This is my Son, my chosen, in whom I'm well pleased, as spoken to us as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of our family traditions when I was growing up, and one that I've sought to continue with my own children, has been going on a hike on New Year's Day. And so the way that it worked is that we'd get up early in the morning when all the world was still sleeping it off, and it felt like we were the first to stake a claim on the new year. On one cold but sunny January 1st, I remember we headed up to the Blue Ridge Mountains to the west, and the trail that day took us to the top of an outlook called Mount Bleak, which is a terrible name for what turns out to be such a beautiful place. Everything there was quiet. Everything was still. Everything was clear. The lookout faced east, and you could see almost all the way back to Washington, D.C. The sun was inching higher into the sky, rising up over the first few hours of the new year, and it was as though we'd been given a glimpse of something that no one else got to see. There's something special about mountains. Even the little ones that we have in New Jersey or Virginia, where I grew up, when you go up a mountain, it's almost like you're taking one step closer to heaven, and you're set apart a little bit for a little while from the day-to-day. Going to the mountaintop is an elevating experience in more ways than one. Maybe that's why we use that word mountaintop as a metaphor to talk about a powerful, even life-changing experience. I think that way about my experience in a campus ministry in college that helped me to hear a call to ministry. There was something special about being part of a community of other people who were all asking the same kinds of questions and struggling with the same things: God, school, career, love, adulthood. And I'm better off in so many ways because I spent that season of my life on that particular mountaintop. So from time to time, all of us get to climb up to the mountaintop. There are friendships or communities or workplaces where we feel not just fed in that daily sense that we need, but uplifted. To be in such a place, to enjoy such a season in your life, is good. And so I completely understand what moved Peter to say what he said. Jesus had taken him and James and John up the mountain, and Jesus changed, and all of a sudden he was speaking with Moses and Elijah. And it was so wonderful and so fantastic that Peter didn't want it to come to an end. So I get it. I get why he asked Jesus if he could make tents so that they could stay there. Because a mountaintop experience is uplifting. It's good, and you don't want it to come to an end. Now, did you ask yourself how Peter knew that this was Moses and Elijah that Jesus was talking to? I mean, it's not as though they had name tags. You know, hi, my name is Moses. They weren't wearing anything like that that could identify themselves. They don't come up to the disciples and introduce themselves. My name is Moses. What's yours? These are things that Peter and his friends just can't know with their senses and reason. And so it has to be that if they know for sure this is Moses and Elijah, that it's a vision, it's a revelation, it's something, some inward insight that God has given them directly, giving them spiritual eyes to understand things that they couldn't possibly figure out on their own. Because a mountaintop experience isn't just thrilling for the sake of being thrilling. Skiing down the side of a mountain is thrilling. But unless there's something going on besides the rush of wind and the pull of gravity and the thumping of your heart. It's not a mountaintop experience. It's just fun, which is good. But a mountaintop experience is not only thrilling. It's meant to reveal something, something new about what God is doing. It's a gift of insight that grabs hold of you and doesn't let go. Moses and Elijah, let's remember who they were. They were great prophets from ancient days. In their own way, they each had been a part of God's work of saving God's people. And their appearance here means that God is about to accomplish something big, something equivalent to the Exodus. God is about to judge and save God's people. And so the story tells us that Moses and Elijah and Jesus are talking about Jesus' departure. The Greek word in the gospel for that word departure is Exodus. And that's a word that echoes the name of the story of the Israelites' liberation from slavery in Egypt. And this departure, this Exodus, is going to happen in Jerusalem. Peter and James and John have been given a gift. They've been given a glimpse of God's plan. God is working in Jesus, making him an instrument of deliverance. And so the things that are about to happen fit into that plan. Whether or not Peter and James and John remember this, whether they lay hold of it in a way that's going to last, is another matter. But it's an insight that they've been given. Because a journey to the mountaintop not only lifts us up, it helps us see what God is doing. It's only a glimpse, though, isn't it? Though Peter tries hard to hold on to the vision, a cloud comes over them and takes it away. In its place comes a voice that confirms what they've just been allowed to see and hear and know. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him. The vision leads back to Jesus. The brief moment of seeing and understanding gives way to a time of listening and trusting and following, because this mountaintop experience, like all the others, comes to an end. The certainty that comes with having a message from God pushed directly into your senses and understanding fades from memory. And from that moment, you can hold the gift that you've been given only through faith. Jesus' road leads down the mountain right back into the reality of a hurting and imperfect people. And so perhaps it's fitting that the first person he encounters as he comes down the mountain is a man with a sick child. The other disciples, the ones left behind, have tried with all their might to heal the boy, but they've failed. Needy people, hapless disciples, a boy held captive by an unclean spirit, holding on to the vision once you've come down the mountain means hard work. Sometimes it means disappointment. So it's no surprise that Jesus cries out in frustration, even as he heals the boy. Oh, perverse and faithless generation, he says. The mountaintop is preparation for the hard work of pursuing God's vision down below. That's not always uplifting, and sometimes you wonder whether you're doing any good at all. We're blessed to have a time of worship today in our sanctuary, but I'm also conscious of things going on around the world. I think we were all heartbroken to see the news out of Ukraine this week, the violence that's overtaken the people there after the Russian invasion, the outpouring of support from across the world, the fear that that support might not be enough. And so as we look at Ukraine, at other tragedies around us, it's easy to get discouraged. It's all the more important to hold on to the vision that God has given us. Something in Jesus is changing the world, something that we need to hold on to. After Mother Teresa's death, those who had been closest to her related a startling story. They talked about how she'd experienced God's presence, how she'd enjoyed a rich and comforting spiritual life, but only until she followed God's call to her to serve the poor of Calcutta. There was this period of life where, to use others' words, she enjoyed vivid experiences of God's love and immediate presence when she was called to enter the slums. And yet during her ministry, when all of us saw her working so sacrificially and tirelessly and compassionately with the poor, she wrote things in her journal like this. "Heaven from every side," she wrote, "is closed." That mountaintop ecstasy that she had known as a young woman had to sustain her the rest of her days. And as her life was being examined by Roman Catholic officials looking into whether to recognize her as a saint, I think they were right. I think they were absolutely right in seeing this, not as a point against her, as some did, but as evidence of how strong her faith was. Mother Teresa was able to carry on in the way she did because she believed in the good, powerful, compassionate God that she met on the mountaintop. And she followed the vision God had given her, even in those later times when God seemed to be absent. Faith isn't about what happens on the mountaintop. Faith begins when you come down the mountain, away from the reassuring immediacy of clear sight and certainty. Faith brought Jesus back down to an earth teeming with needy people, and it steeled him for a journey that led to betrayal, the cross, and the tomb. He tried to warn his friends, but the meaning of his words was concealed from them. So they were left with faith. Trust in Jesus. Listen to him. Follow him. A mountaintop experience isn't something you can manufacture. You can't make it happen. When it does come, it comes as a gift. If God is a very real and present force in your life right now, in this season of your life, then maybe it's because you're being prepared for a hard but necessary journey to come. And if that season on the mountaintop lies in your past and it feels like a slog right now, then maybe it's because you've received the glimpse that you needed to set out on your way, and now maybe you're simply meant to press forward in faith. Walking with Jesus down the mountain, the road ahead is always unknown. You don't know where you'll live tomorrow, next week, or next year. The road is unknown, but we've glimpsed where it leads. The resurrection of Jesus is a glimpse of everything faded, broken, and rejected about us and our world being put back together again, alive again, step by step, listening to him, following him. We're being led to the future we've only glimpsed, that we can only grasp in the here and now by faith. And that captivating vision of life transformed and redeemed gives us courage and hope in the face of our own brokenness, in the face of disappointments, threats, and even death itself. Listening to Jesus, trusting Jesus, following Jesus, we'll get there at last. Amen.